In my quest to become self-sufficient, there have been several things that I find it really hard to replace from shop-bought versions. That's what we've been talking about on this Hard to Replace series every Monday. Today we're going to be talking about citrus. Now, if you live in a semi-tropical or tropical climate, this episode probably won't apply to you too much because you can grow citrus plants quite easily. So, you've got my permission to skip this one. But for those of us in temperate climates, or somewhere that we can't just grow a lemon tree or an orange tree easily in our gardens, there is a bit of a dilemma here as to how we can source this product, because it is something I find myself using quite a lot of for all sorts of things. Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to be talking about citrus. Now, citrus is something that some people don't have any issues with and they can grow it really, really easily. However, for a lot of us and those of us in temperate climates, we really struggle with citrus plants. When I think about self-sufficiency, obviously a large part of it is growing whatever we can or producing whatever we can at home. But there's another element to it, which is the kitchen. So the homestead kitchen looks very different to most suburban kitchens. We're doing a lot of things in there that a lot of people just don't really consider. And one of those things is preserving food. Now, citrus is something that is used quite a lot in canning, but it's also used all across our range of activities in the kitchen, including baking. We use it in salad dressings here and also just in sweet foods. So when it comes to finding replacements for that citrus product or some other type of crop that I can grow, I really had to get quite creative to get to the point where I no longer need to buy lemons, for instance. Citrus plants are a semi-tropical plant, so they're heat-loving and sun-loving plants, and in the right environments, they can be really easy to grow. If you live in California, you're not going to have any trouble growing oranges. But we aren't able to grow any lemons outside here all year round in the UK, bar a very narrow range of varieties. So we are going to be talking about some varieties that will grow in a cooler climate, but we're also going to be talking about other ways that we can substitute lemons and limes in our cooking and the things we use them for in the kitchen. So generally speaking, if your climate drops below about minus 3 degrees at any time, that's 3 degrees centigrade, which is 25 degrees Fahrenheit, then you're going to have problems growing a lot of citrus trees outside. Now, limes and lemons prefer it even a few degrees warmer than that. And limes and lemons are the two least cold hardy varieties of all the citrus plants. So they're the ones that I really struggle with most trying to find an alternative. But there are some options available to us. The first thing we're going to talk about today are cold hardy varieties and what things we might be able to grow. So there are some cold hardy versions that are available. Now, there's something called the Changshi tangerine. Now, it's not something I've grown, it's not something I'm familiar with. But when I was researching for this episode, I found online that there's something called a Changshi tangerine, that's spelled Changshi. And that will actually survive right down to minus 13 degrees centigrade, which is 8 Fahrenheit. Now, as I mentioned before in a recent episode on hardiness zones, just because a plant will survive at those temperatures That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to thrive at those temperatures. We have an almond tree in our garden, which is lovely and healthy, and it grows quite nicely in our environment, and I chose that specific variety for that reason, but it's never, ever, ever going to be a big yielding plant. Now, the one sort of saving grace, the silver lining, if you like, when it comes to citrus plants, is that although we might like to use a lot of citrus, we'd actually need to use a lot of citrus. We can get by with using just a sparingly few amount of lemons in a year. So perhaps the cold hardy versions are actually going to produce just enough for what you need. It really does depend on your uses. There are a couple of other options as well. There's the Aichang lemon variety and the Taiwanica variety. Now, both of those are supposed to be comfortable down to minus 12 degrees centigrade. That's 10 degrees Fahrenheit. So not quite as cold as the Changshi tangerine. But again, with them being lemons, they're, you know, even harder to find a cold hardy variety. So there are a few tangerines and clementines and things like that which you can find online which will be hardy down to a fairly cold temperature. But with the lemons, it's not quite as cold that they're going to survive, and also the variety options are that little bit less. So that's the first option, if you like, to solve this problem. So just choosing a variety that is going to be able to survive the cooler climates. There are some other options. There's the yuzu lemon and the red lime, both of which are fairly cold hardy. There are some other tips and tricks that we can use as well to manipulate the environment within which we're growing, which is going to both increase our availability of species we can grow, but it's also going to increase our yields, and that's what we're going to be talking about next. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self-Sufficient Hub group and the Self-Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. So if we're growing citrus in a temperate climate, we've already set ourselves up to manage that plant a little bit more heavily than we might manage other plants that are more conducive to growing in our environments. There's two things that we want to be thinking about, really, and one of which is just survival, and the second of which is thriving. Now, when it comes to survival, it's all about making sure that the plant is not exposed to temperatures lower than it can cope with during the winter. There's a couple of ways we can manage that, and the second one is about helping the plant to thrive. We're going to talk about survival next. So one of the things to consider is that a lot of citrus plants can actually be pot grown. So the huge advantage of this is once a plant is pot grown, it is mobile. So if you're looking to just tweak things ever so slightly, if the temperature ranges that we're getting in winter are borderline, right on the edge of whether or not the plant is one that's going to survive your climate, then we can just move it into a greenhouse or a polytunnel. Now, our greenhouse or polytunnel is typically empty or very close to it through the coldest of the winter months. So if I've got a plant that is going to almost survive the winter and all I'm after is just that little bit of extra protection, then I can move it from its outside space to the polytunnel. But if the environment is too harsh for it to survive even there, then it being in a pot means we can even bring it into the house. Something to bear in mind when you're doing the latter is that citrus plants do really enjoy the sunshine all year round. So it's quite important if you're bringing it into the house, don't think just because it's winter that the plant is going to be too dormant to care about sunlight. You still want to put it, if you can, in a south-facing window position so that it can still enjoy a lot of that sunshine. If you're not going to be pot growing, if you're going to be planting directly into the ground, there are still things we can do which will help to protect our plant a little bit. So if we're going to get a frost or particularly cold temperatures, we can cover the whole plant with a fleece or some other blanketing. And you can cover the whole plant right down to the ground and put some weights on the ground. And this is going to keep the worst of the frost off the plant. It's going to keep those temperatures just a tiny bit higher. You could also add some plastic on top of that fleece, ideally, but do remember to remove it again in the morning or when temperatures rise. You don't want to be feeding your citrus plants either towards the end of the season. So at the end of the summer, if you've been feeding your citrus plants, you should stop, because what you want to do is reduce the new growth going into winter, because that new growth is going to be particularly susceptible to the cold weather damage. So that's survival. Now let's talk about thriving. In order for our citrus plants to thrive, we're going to want to do as much as we can to make their position feel as tropical as possible. Now, we're not going to be able to create a properly semi-tropical environment here in the UK, but we can do some things that are going to increase it. So you want to protect it from too much wind, purely because that wind chill is going to affect how cold it can feel. You're also going to want to make sure that it gets full sun. It's never going to get as much sun as it might like to be as productive as it could be somewhere else in the world, but we want to get as close as we can to those conditions. So you want to make sure it's somewhere in full sun. You also want to make sure that if you're going to feed it and water it, that you're doing these things that are going to push the growth as early in the season as possible, so that any new leaf growth has the opportunity to be in the sun for as many hours as possible throughout the season. So that's everything I've got to say about growing citrus plants. The next thing we're going to talk about is using citrus and what other replacements we can use instead of actual lemons and limes. Are there other plants we can grow? And there certainly are, or at least forage, which for my mind is even more fun, and also different replacements that we can use and make in our kitchen when we're cooking and using citrus. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. So citrus forms two very useful functions in the kitchen. One is obviously for flavour, but the second one is for acidity. Now, the acidity could be used for preserving or for helping some doughs or batters to rise. Whatever you're going to be using the citrus for in your kitchen is really going to dictate what alternatives are available to you. So if we start by looking at the flavour options, if you're using citrus in something for the flavour, then you've got quite a wide range of options really for replacements. Something like apple cider vinegar can be used for a replacement for lemon juice or lime juice within a lot of recipes, particularly if you're only using a small amount. And if you're using it for the flavour, then apple cider vinegar or other vinegars can be really useful. Apple cider vinegar is also something that is super, super easy to make yourself. And we make a tremendous amount here, and we use it in all sorts of ways. So if you're going for that lemony flavor, for instance, on a salad dressing, then substituting the lemon juice for apple cider vinegar will work equally well. And it's certainly what we do here now is we tend to use vinegars more than citrus on our salad dressings when we might have used citrus before. You can also use apple juice as a substitute. And there's also lots of lemony herbs available, like lemon balm, lemon thyme, or lemon verbena, which are all really easy to grow in cooler climates. Lemon balm is one of the plants that you can just grow once and it will just grow forever. And it's a super vigorous plant and it's got a lovely lemon kick to it, not quite as strong and certainly not as acidic as a lemon juice would be, but you can use it for that flavor. If it's the acidity that's required, then definitely you're going to be looking more towards the vinegars, like I've also mentioned. So a lot of baking recipes will call for lemon juice, and that might be if you need them to make a dough or a batter rise. If this is the case, then you can usually substitute it for a vinegar. And as I've said before, apple cider vinegar is my go-to vinegar for two reasons. The main one being the flavor, it's just delicious, we love it. And the second one is the ease of production. We can produce gallons of it with no work at all. It's such a simple thing to make. We will be mentioning recipes like apple cider vinegar in subsequent podcasts and teaching you how to make those. So, another alternative, if you're going for flavors, is the sorrels. And sorrels, I've spoken about before on some of our foraging episodes. And we've got a YouTube video on foraging for two different types of sorrel. One is a wood sorrel video, and the other one, I think, is in our just our spring foraging video, is common sorrel. Both of these have an amazing, amazing lemony flavor. They're just delicious. So if you learn how to forage for sorrels, they're a super common plant as well, and they just make a fantastic lemon alternative. And we love to use sorrels, particularly wood sorrel, within salads. A small bit goes a long way. They've got such vast amounts of flavor in such a tiny, tiny little plant. So that's different alternatives we can use instead of lemons and limes. I have to say that it is something that I'm struggling with, but and I don't, it's certainly not a problem I feel I've solved. So if you have got any suggestions of ways that we can either replace citrus in some of our cooking or plants that we can grow that I've not mentioned that grow really well in the UK, I would love to hear them. Particularly if you've had success growing a citrus plant in the UK, then do please get in touch because it's not something that I feel that I've yet mastered, and I'm very much keen to get this problem solved for myself. So the other thing that I wanted to mention is that if you're using lemon juice or citrus for the acidity in canning, that's not something that you want to just swap out for something else like vinegar. It's really important if you're doing canning that you stick to your recipes and you really seek advice from an authority on that particular subject if you're looking to make changes, because botulism is something that you don't want to play with. You know, it's a really, really serious thing. So make sure that if you're using lemon juice in your canning, that you don't just swap that out. So to summarize then, you can either go for a cold hardy version of these citrus plants, but if you do that, make sure that you're doing everything you can to keep your yields up. And the second one is to replace in your cooking methods. And then if you're doing that, just think about whether or not you're replacing for the flavor or for the acidity. And that's about it for today. And I hope you found something in there of interest. I know that I found researching this subject quite eye-opening because, as I say, it's certainly not something that I've got licked yet, and I'm very keen to try and work out how we can get by without it because it's not something that I feel I'm going to fully solve anytime soon. Thanks for listening, and we will speak to you next time. Cheers. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon. Thank you.